The reading today is taken from James, James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20, the prayer of faith. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
The discipline of prayer. What a lovely little passage from James 5 we've just had read. That's a cracker of a passage. There's so many passages I could have chosen for this service today. But I thought that was one. James, you know, the brother of Jesus, just really sums up prayer so beautifully in that letter. And we're in week 5 of the Disciplined Disciples series. And remember, this is not the series of becoming a wowser or the killjoy. No, far from it. It's about being the best we can be to be. And it will fill us with joy as we engage God in a newness and a new verve for our lives. A disciplined life leads to a more potent life in Christ with expectations of seeing God's hand at work around us. And today's sermon is on prayer, which is it's us bringing to God our different thoughts, ourselves, our lives, the lives of others that we want to see God impact, you know. And so I think it's really important that, you know, this is probably, and I kind of said last week, but these 2 weeks, the Bible reading and the prayer, they're the two main foundations of our faith, hey? The prayer has been probably the disciples spent so much time in prayer and in engaging. They didn't have the scriptures the way we have them today, and so they were people of prayer. And it's just wonderful to see their ministry and how well it took off in the New Testament as the early church was birthed. These spiritual disciplines are for personal growth, and they're practices which we use that draw us into a stronger relationship with Christ. Well, that's natural in this, isn't it? Because, you know, as we talk to God, as we bring before God our different petitions that we have and our prayers that we have, we're in communication with Him. And, you know, if I don't talk to Mrs. Cole for 3 months, I've got to tell you, it's going to make for a very poor married relationship that we would have. The same things with God. He just wants to hear our voice. He yearns to hear our voice. But just also remember that these spiritual disciplines do no good if we're not striving to have relationships with others around us, because then we can become pious, and that's no good. And so the motives with why we want to pray more and have these spiritual disciplines really does matter. Week 1. What was it? Submitting to God. Week 2, the Sabbath and fasting. Week 3, service. Week 4, reading the word and prayer this week. Next week is evangelism. The discipline of evangelism. Evangelon, I think, is the word that we find in Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel uses that word more than anything else, but that's a taster for next week. Prayer is, in the most simple way put, talking to God. That's it. All right, sermon's over. Well, no. It's not one way. It's not a one way conversation where we just tell God. He's not like a vending machine, and it's not like a Santa's wish list of stuff, of wild stuff that we're, oh yes, God, well, you know, we really would like. No, we can tell Him what we would like, but also make sure we bring the needs of other people. I mean, and what would happen? Do you remember Bruce Almighty when all of a sudden he hit yes to everything? You know, what would happen if God answered yes to all of your prayers, or answered your prayers exactly how you did it? And I think that's one of our problems with prayer. One of our problems with prayer is we're quite prescriptive. We prescribe to God exactly what we would like, how we would like it, when we would like it, and how we would like it served up. God filters it and then returns it back to us in the most perfect of ways, even if it's not the way we wanted it answered. Ah, imagine that. The biggest problem with prayer, I actually think the biggest problem with prayer is not us being prescriptive. No, I think the biggest problem the church and Christians have with prayer is our belief and faith that what we ask for could or would occur. That's simply it. I think that there's many prayers that we pray, sometimes they're nothing more than lip service. And if your prayer is nothing more than lip service, then your prayers are religious nonsense. I get it. Different churches do prayers in different ways. I love heartfelt prayers prayed in my church. I love to hear people just talking to God, talking to Jesus. And I suppose the best way of putting it is, when we communicate as humans, we always desire words spoken to us that are filled with truth and meaning and with integrity. Well, why wouldn't we do the same thing with God and how we pray? With truth, meaning and integrity. Actually seeking out God to do the impossible, or God to do the amazing, or God to do the miraculous, or God to bring about changed circumstances for places in the world. And then not sitting there thinking, well, I'm just but a small little voice and he's got so many other prayers that are more important than mine. No, he actually doesn't. Because we think with our tiny little human brain and we try and fit God into our paradigm. He's not in our paradigm, he's bigger than that. Andrew Bonner was a Scottish revivalist, and he had a guide to prayer, led thousands to Jesus, but his guide to prayer was this: not to speak to any person before speaking to Jesus at the start of the day, not to do anything with his hands until he'd done something on his knees, and not to read the papers until he'd read the Bible. Pretty good kind of way to start the day, isn't it? Spending time in prayer on your knees and not reading the day, things of the day, but actually getting into the Word of God. Well, the scriptures and prayers, there's, as mentioned in previous weeks, the early church sent their folk out with prayer and fasting, not with praise and feasting. I think that we do praise and feasting better than we do prayer and fasting today. We celebrate this minister going off to a new church. Woohoo! Oh, really? But the early church's method was with prayer and fasting. So, Jesus is also directly noted in prayer 66 times in the Gospel, in the Gospels, okay? So, he's alone sometimes, he's in public, he's before or after meals he prays, before or after healings, or during healing, or for healing he prays, just seeking to do his Father's will, and so many other ways he is seen to be praying. There are over 650 prayers in the Bible, and 25 of these are done by Jesus. Primarily, they're supplication, bringing our desires, our needs. And then there's thanksgiving, adoration, confession, and intercession, praying for other people. So this, I feel, is the primary discipline of the disciplines, and it's the primary discipline of a disciple. Yet it's so underutilized. I think that we love to jump into our practical aspect of Christian ministry and mission before we jump into prayer. I think that we love to go and do things for God before we actually still talk to God about doing things for him. And we need to have the right attitude for prayer. So I've got, I think it's about 10 points that we're going to go through here in having the right attitudes for prayer. The first is be real. Don't try and impress God. Don't pray what you think God wants you to hear, what you think God wants to hear. Remember, he already knows the desires of your heart and your thoughts. And so you're not going to fool him. Just speak to him with what's on your heart. He's probably sitting there going, finally some honest stuff. Like, sheesh. And don't try and use the biggest words, and don't use a prayer voice. Oh my goodness. Number two, have the right attitude. Be relaxed. That's it. Number two is be relaxed. Be relaxed. You know, you need to relax. You need to go someplace where you can be alone sometimes, or where you can be in a quiet spot and take those deep breaths and remove the distractions from around you and just concentrate. The two main excuses most people give for not praying are they don't have time and they don't have a place. Well, you know what? It's really easy to make time and it's really easy to make a place. You know, I ride my motorbike. I don't shut my eyes, but I'll pray while I'm riding my motorbike. I pray while I'm driving the car, when I'm walking up the street. You know, I'll pray when I'm singing on my guitar. I just love it. There's opportunities to pray all the time. And so you just got to make sure you take those opportunities. Number three, be revealing. Don't hide anything. Don't hide anything. Be revealing. When you talk to the Lord, talk. Talk to him as he's your friend, because he is. And talk to him like he is your father, because he is. And talk to him like he's your counselor, because he is. And talk to him like he's your savior, because he is. Yep, just talk to him and be revealing. It's between the two of you. I keep saying our faith is a public thing. Our confession is a very private thing. Number four, come with praise. That's right, come with praise. Bring adoration about who God is, you know. And adoration is just that, praising God for who he is, proclaiming his character, his love, and his faithfulness. And also tying into that is thanksgiving, you know. Thanksgiving is praising God for what he's done. Prayers that have been answered, encouragement from others, and the word. You know, a new song that even stirs you. You know, I've had people who've come up to me and said, "Oh, Nick, thank you so much for the new song that we've sung in church." And I say, "Don't thank me. Thank God. He inspired the artist to write it, and I was just lucky enough to hear it, and I thought it'd be a good song for church. Thank God for it." You know, that's where the praise is due, not me. I'm just a numpty musician who brought the song along. Number five, recognize your position. So when I come before God, I need to acknowledge whose will I want done. Yeah, because sometimes I think it should be my will that's getting done. However, I got to make sure I'm going to come to God with the right heart to say, "God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So, and I check this by saying, am I just coming to God with a wish list? Or am I coming before him to serve him? Remember, week one was the discipline of submission. Are you actually submitting to, or are you resisting God's call? And I think that that's part of our prayers that we need to be praying about. Number six is asking for God's provision or hand of providence upon your life, you know. And it says we should do this in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, you know. So what needs do I have to ask God for God, you know? And all of them. There is nothing too great in God's power to take care of, and there's nothing too insignificant for his concern. All things are important to him in your life. You know, Philippians 4:19 says that God will meet all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. He will meet our needs. Not our wants, not our desires, but our needs. Yes. Number seven, ask for forgiveness and forgive others. I know I could have made that into 2 points, but I just chose one. Ask for the Holy Spirit to reveal to you your sin. Yep. And then confess it to God. Not to the world, just to God. Then make restitution with others if necessary. God might be actually showing you that you need to go talk to some other people to seek to reconcile. And accept God's forgiveness. That's the other thing, is if you've prayed for forgiveness, accept forgiveness. Don't walk around as though you're still shackled by sin and brokenness, because God forgets. And make sure you pardon other people if they've done something that's a little bit awkward for you. Yeah. Number eight, ask for God's protection. As we as believers, we face a spiritual battle every single day, and Satan wants to defeat us through temptation and fear. If I start every day without praying for God's protection, I'm walking into battle unprotected, and I will fail sometimes because of that. But don't be afraid. The Spirit who is in us is more powerful than the Spirit who is in the world. And there's some great words from the Scriptures, amen. Now, number nine, pray for others. That's right. Be it healing, help, encouragement, peace in their lives, whatever their needs are, pray for others. Bring them before God. Pray that they might find Jesus. It's also a good place to ask God to touch other people's lives, that they may come to know him, and that's a beautiful thing. And ask that he brings people of faith into the lives of those who need to have faith, that the people of faith would come in and impact their lives. Yeah. And number 10, are you ready for it? Silence is golden. Listen. God may stir you. And sometimes there, well, here is the place when he can. Sometimes this, in the time of prayer, is a place where he can stir you. He can stir your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, and if it's all quiet, you're actually ready to hear his voice. We're told to pray without ceasing, but cease the talking for a bit so God can respond to you. Amen. So that God can respond to you. I think he loves to respond to us, and so often we just use him like a holy vending machine. We pray and 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 pray, and then we wait for the answer and then we walk away. Silence is golden. Make sure you listen. Well, so what now? You know, I think it's a good spot to start at, you know, and a good question. Because we've looked at Bible reading, and I've just touched on prayer for us today. Remember the story of the prodigal son. I get an image so often that God is like that father in that story, desperately waiting to have a chat with us. Desperately waiting so we're close enough that he can talk and give us wisdom and counsel and good guidance. And maybe this week, maybe you find the time and the space and the words to speak with our Father and just have a chat to him about where you're going in your life and what you're up to in your life. This discipline is key. Before all the doing of church life, before all the witnessing, the mission, the service, we need to be founded in a relationship of prayer with God. All good relationships are founded on good communication, and prayer is the starting point for just that. As I said before, if I didn't talk to Mrs. Cole for 3 months, what type of relationship am I going to really be having at that time? In my previous sermons on prayer, I've focused on formulas and the shape of prayer. This time I just wanted to come down to the richness of a relationship, because that's really where we're at. This is Easter we're heading into, and God calls us to be in relationship with him and with each other, filled with honesty and trust. And that prayer should actually be the first place where we engage things with God. Whether they go right or wrong, it should be the very first place, because God should be first in our lives. And I actually think that sometimes we will use God almost as the last resort rather than the first place of connection. Prayer is not about time. It's about quality. And some folk, you know, there are some folk out there and they have the gift of prayer and they will pray for hours on end. However, most of us do not have that gift. And so we have to start small. And I don't mind if you're only praying for a minute a day. I really don't mind if you're praying for a minute a day, as long as you're praying something. There's a lot of good books that came out surrounding prayer. I think Bill Hybels wrote one which was called Too Busy Not to Pray. It's great. It's great to read books like that. They're very old now, but they give us a good reminder that we just got to lay things before God before we go and lay things before the world. And do not despair, as prayer is about quality and not quantity. So you'll find that over time, your own natural shape and comfort will come into your prayer life, and you will find where you can pray is diverse and wonderful. This week, maybe it's time for that dangerous prayer to be prayed. Lord, teach me to pray. And yield your excuses as to why you can't to God. That's an important thing. And find a new thing each day. This week, go and find something new every single day to thank God for, and remind yourself of how much he loves you. Amen. How much he loves you. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this sermon on prayer, and it's so important that we spend time talking to God every single day. Amen.